Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. In his message titled, That Self We Wish to Be, Reverend David Williams tells us that as we think about our choices and how they will change our lives, we must remember that our choices will also change the lives of others. We must make our choices with grace and kindness. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. And here we are in this space, and it's 2019, which means that for the next month we will write 2018 and correct ourselves over and over again, because that change is always hard. We just got used to it being 2018, and now it isn't. But as we enter this year, this time, as we come into what is a place of new choosing, of new dynamics in our lives, it's very, very easy not to take advantage of it, not to take advantage of the freshness of this moment, of this blessed, possible life that we have been given, and to instead just drift back into old ways of being, to fail to set aside old and bitter things, to fail to grasp the newness that God offers us, not just because it's a new year, but because every moment is new. Every moment gives us the potential to become something that we have yearned for and not quite grasped. Let's acknowledge that even in this year, we might forget to grasp that possibility, that we might find reasons not to be who we need to be. Let's admit that together as we pray the prayer of confession. It's in the bulletin. Please join with me in praying. Gracious God, change comes hard to us. As we move into this new year, we find ourselves wondering if it will truly bring anything new. Though we know there are places in our lives we could grow, we fall back so easily into the patterns of the past. We convince ourselves that changes for the better will not stick. From that cynicism, we lay the foundation for our failure. Forgive us for not trusting in you to truly change us. In Christ, we ask this. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the book of the prophet Isaiah. I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. You can follow along on page 690 of your pew Old Testament. Let's listen for God's holy word. Isaiah writes, "Arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's been nice these last few weeks because the house is full again. Kids are there with their friends and with their girlfriends, and everything's a ruckus, and it's nice and loud. But there's a reality that has forced me to adapt to, that I've had to adjust to after adjusting to the empty nest. Suddenly the nest fills up again, and I have to readjust to the reality that very often when I go downstairs, the television is unavailable. Because it's been great. The last couple of months, over the last quarter, whenever I want to go downstairs with my wife and settle in for yet another installment of the Great British Baking Show, this is the process. We go downstairs. We turn on the TV. We watch people panicking over puff pastries. You know, it's enjoyable. But now we go downstairs and there are kids there. And the screen is showing something they're already watching. And you'd think it would be easy. You know, there'd be no competition for the screen because everyone in the house has a screen in their pocket and a screen in their bag and another screen, because two screens just isn't enough. You've got to have at least three going simultaneously. Still in all, there the last few weeks has always been someone on the large one downstairs whenever it's come time to relax for a few moments. And the suggestion is made, my wife usually makes it, oh, you know, we could just watch something together, which would work if the process of choosing something to watch together did not take longer than whatever movie it was we were planning to watch. There's always such a vast array of choices before us. You know, not like the old days. You know, like those good old days back when you go and you turn the dial and you go, all right, we can watch this, click, or we can watch that, click, or watch this, click, and we don't get that channel, that channel, that channel. And you can watch. The three choices always made it very easy. Now we have such a vast array of possibilities before us that the act of selecting that one perfect particular thing just seems overwhelming. It's just endless menus upon menus that you sort through. And adding to the complexity of that this season has come a new option for screen watching, offered up to us by the good folks at Netflix. Has anyone watched their way through any of the show Black Mirror? Black Mirror. I've watched the first couple of seasons, which are interesting. If you've not seen it, it's pretty much like the Twilight Zone or the Outer Limits updated for the internet age. So it's good stuff. It's interesting. And for this season, Netflix, through Black Mirror, has offered up its episode called Bandersnatch. Has anyone watched that, actually? It's an episode called Bandersnatch, which I've not gotten around to watching. I've gotten around to reading about people watching it. And this evidently is a video version of a choose-your-own-adventure tale, where at certain points during the narrative, it stops, and you can make an on-screen selection. Sometimes for something as trivial as what music is being played in the background, and other times, choices that the character is making, which on the one hand sounds like, ooh, that's sort of cool and new. But on the other hand, it seems like it might be a little much, because you've already spent an hour talking with the kids about, like, which, all right, what are we going to do? What are we going to see? You convince them to watch Bandersnatch, and then every couple of minutes, that whole process has to start again. Well, do we select this or do we select that? And then the group is talking about it, and it just seems like that hour-long episode would last about 4 hours with much disagreement and stomping away. No, I wanted to do that. And this was supposedly the exciting big thing in, like, new interactive storytelling. But one, it's been done before in book form. And two, pretty much all video games for a while, any good RPGs, or anyone play Mass Effect? Mass Effect, anyone? Anyone? Video games have been doing precisely that for a decade and a half, really effectively. So I think it's been a little disappointing for Netflix that it's not been the most exciting thing. But what it does tell us, and what I think it's important to remind us of this season, is the significance of choosing, is the significance of making particular choices at particular points in life that don't necessarily involve a drop-down menu, but do require us to select futures that we're not quite sure of yet. What does this choice do? What does that choice do? And how essential that is as we move through life. And today we get a reading from Isaiah that talks about casting out a choice and casting out a hope that comes from choosing. And this reading from Isaiah comes to us today because, in addition to being Baptism of the Lord Sunday, it's also Epiphany. What happens on Epiphany? There's a thing that happens every year that we remember. The three kings, the wise men show up. And so this passage from Isaiah is given to us today because it talks about gold and frankincense. That's pretty much why it's here. The myrrh is missing, but, you know, oh well. Close enough. But it comes to us talking about a period when the Jewish people had been given a new freedom and a new choice. Because this is chapter 60 of Isaiah, and Isaiah comes to us in three sections. Three sections that speak to very different times in the life of the Jewish people. The first section, the first 39 chapters, is the prophet Isaiah in the 8th century preaching to the people of Jerusalem, saying, "You're rich now. Be good to those who are poor and are struggling and are oppressed. Be good to the stranger and the foreigner, because that's what God wants from you." And they sort of listen. Then we get 2 Isaiah, where the Jewish people, having not really listened and having mucked around with power in the world, have found themselves as slaves in Babylon, lost in exile. And those are words of comfort. And that goes from chapter 40 through 55. As a prophet who followed on the tradition of Isaiah said to that people, "You are broken now, but God will restore you. You will find restoration." And then we get the last 10 chapters, of which this reading is a part. And that's a different context altogether. The people are no longer slaves. They have been returned to their homes. Cyrus of Persia has defeated Babylon and liberated the people and sent them back so that they can reestablish themselves and finally do all of the things that they should have been doing in the first place. They had an opportunity to rebuild their whole culture from the ruins. They were back in their ancestral lands. They were full of promise and hope. And what did they do? they got right back into doing the same old things that they had been doing when Isaiah first preached to them hundreds of years before. There were old divisions in their culture, divisions between those who were born Jewish, who were part of the land, and those who were foreign-born, those who weren't quite pure blood, as one might say, were this Harry Potter universe stuff. Those people who weren't pure were cast out. They were foreigners. They were unwelcome. And so Isaiah, this lineage of this prophet, spoke to the people and said, look, stop making these decisions. Here's what you can do that is right. And he did that two ways. One, by chastising them, telling them that the stranger in their land, the stranger that embraced their ways, that was willing to do what was necessary to walk in justice and in covenant, should not ever be cast out, that was an abomination in the sight of the Lord. And two, showing them what they could be. It wasn't all, you're bad, you're terrible, you're bad, you're terrible, you're bad, you're terrible. Because when people say that to us, how do we respond? We say, you're stupid, go away, you're stupid, go away, you're stupid, go away. We rarely hear that challenge unless it's met with hopefulness, met with a vision of what it is that makes us truly who we are, that makes us that person or that people that God is calling us to be. And it's that vision that we see today in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 shows us this vision of God's fulfillment. Here is what it means for you to have risen out of darkness, for you to have been returned from your land, have seen your children who were cast away in exile brought home, your sons returning from far away, your daughters, infant children brought safe to your land. Here is what hopefulness looks like. The brilliance of God's promise presented through the eyes of a prophet telling a people, be welcoming, be gracious. Here is the possibility of who you might be if only you embrace what it means for God's glory to be present and for God's light to be in you. And that is a part of the prophetic witness that's worthwhile for us to hear as we move on in our lives, because often it can feel hopeless if there are things that we struggle with and have struggled with and continue to struggle with and that have been a thorn in our sides. Having that vision of what we might expect if we turn towards hope matters. That's almost like having the opportunity. It's like, well, if I make this choice, what's it really going to do? I mean, we tend to be cynical about that. Well, you know, I'll do this and I'll stick with it for like a couple of weeks, and then I'm going to go right back to picking at whatever bitterness or addiction has consumed us for years. And from that cynicism, we often will choose nothing. It's always easier to give up if we don't see the kind of vision of hope and glory that Isaiah presents. And so as we enter this new year, which is just an arbitrary selection of time, know that you have the opportunity to make that choice, whatever it is in your life that will transform you for the better. And you already kind of know what that better is. You have an inkling of it. You have a hint of it. In the same way that Isaiah has said, you know, the light is here. Glory is here. Things are going to be bright if only you commit yourself to the right path. He called out the Jewish people to be open and welcoming and gracious and just. wherever it is in your life where you can be more welcoming, more loving, more gracious, and just know that that truth, the truth and fruit of that is real. When you haven't, you're at that point where, you know, you're on page 43 or page 49 in my case, and you're getting ready, you're like, all right, if you choose this, flip to this page. Isaiah cheats for you. Anyone ever cheat in a choose your own adventure book? It's there. It's like, all right, well, let me see where that goes. The place it goes when you choose to be just and gracious and loving and kind is always the best path. And so wherever you face challenges or possibilities in this year, make that choice. Be called to that self that in your heart you know God has already shown you. And let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
There are places in the world where Presbyterians sing quickly. It's hard to believe, but there are such places, and it's a joy to introduce some of the music. And we'll get used to it. We'll get some of that energy going. As we think about choosing today, as we think about choices and how our choices will affect our lives in the year ahead, there's an important subsidiary detail that often gets missed when we think about our choosing, because we tend to think about our choosing as a thing that's oriented only to ourselves. If you're watching Bandersnatch, which now I'm going to have to do on Netflix, it's meant, best I can tell, to be watched alone. Like, you just sit there, either in your living room or on your tablet, and it's just you and the narrative, which is shaped by your choosing, but not necessarily by that of others. But the reality of our choices in life is that they don't happen in isolation. Around us are other souls who are making their own choices, and our choices affect them, and their choices affect us. And that, I think, is part of why things are such a mess. We think of things only, well, what is this going to do for me? Your choices in this year, if they are guided by the Spirit of Christ and Christ's grace, will affect others, will change the lives of others, will shape other people as they come into encounter with your gracious choice. And what Jesus was always trying to remind us of is it's not all about us. It's about all of God's children who are equally beloved. And if we just choose with grace and kindness and forbearance and mercy, that changes other choices as people think, yeah, that's kind of a good thing. Or people feel forgiven, or they feel your goodness present. And so when you go out choosing, please do remember, this isn't just you choosing your own adventure. This is you in a world filled with struggling souls, some of whom are in contact with you, and they need to feel that choice to forgive, to be gracious, to be good. Because that will change their world and their choosing. That's the whole point of the gospel, is this right and gracious choice shared with all. So go out and let your choosing spread grace and goodness in the world. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.